I hope none of you forgot to set your clocks back. Have been sitting here for an hour waiting for us to arrive. But even if you were, I'm thankful to be able to worship our Lord with you this morning, and I'm encouraged by your presence here at Little Hickman Christian Church. Prayer is a very important part of the life of this church, and we take time to update you on those who have special prayer needs. And we have two funerals to report this morning. Sharon Bain's sister, Darlene Elliott, passed away this week. And her funeral service is tomorrow at 1 p.m. at Fox and Friends Funeral Home in Stanford. Visitation from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And also, Gail Teeter's uncle, Ray Carter, passed away, and they're just going to have a simple graveside service tomorrow. We have, of course, Bud Jeanette being treated for cancer and Kagan Guy being treated for leukemia. And we have our stroke patients who are making good recoveries, Kathleen Baker, Fran Bain's mother, and Debbie Gardner, Billy Fount's niece. So we're thankful for the good news on them. There has been a COVID outbreak at Sayre Christian Village Nursing Home. The church sends regular support to Sayre Christian Village, and there are a couple of people in there that you would know, some of you would know, Chris and Rhoda Christie, and they both have COVID and are among the a fairly large group that are being treated for it there. So keep them in your prayers too. Also, there's been a COVID outbreak at Thompson Hood Veterans Home in Wilmore. And so we'd ask you to, and several have died. So we'd ask you to pray for our veterans there, for their caregivers, including Tammy View. Brad Teeter is still medicating. He's on blood pressure medication now, and they're going to do a CAT scan to try to isolate his problem and be able to treat him for it. So we ask you to continue in prayer for Brad. Also, Charles Hager is still at St. Joe Hospital, and he's not... He's at home. Okay. But he's not doing well. And we'd ask you to keep him in your prayers too. Grace Lunford has requested prayer for her health issues. And then we have Grace Baker, our singing friend from Florida, and Diane Cundiff. Both have had hip replacements this past week. And Sandy Hammond will be having her second one on the November 18th. So it's hip replacement season. And you can certainly keep them in your prayers.
Greg Baker's doing great. I heard online with her, and she's doing really good.
Grace Baker is doing great. You say that's the good news. So both of them are up and walking. That's good. Yes. What's the name? Okay. I'm sure the Lord knows who it is. We do have two prayer requests for lung cancer patients. One is Robin Rose, who is Larry Bruner's brother-in-law. He's at St. Joe Hospital. And Randy Olson, that Charlene Montgomery requested prayer for. Both of these have lung cancer. We want you to remember our college students. They're away from home and in college, and that's a good time to pray for them. Also, we have three birthdays this week. Sean, Danny, and Marcia tell me their daughter Sean has had a birthday this past week, and also David Bain, bless his heart, and your great grandchild, Leanna Huffman, had her birthday this week too. So we will wish them good things. And remember that today is the final day for our FM broadcast and Facebook post. So I want to thank Ron Bain for making it possible for such a long time. And I wish you would take time to thank him yourselves, because he's the one that was responsible for our being able to do that. And we, starting next Sunday, we'll invite you to worship inside the church building. As you can see, we have room to social distance. We have masks. We have hand sanitizer. We won't force you to shake our hands or hug us. But we're just glad to have you. This is the day the Lord has made. So let's rejoice and be glad in it. Will you pray with me? Our loving Heavenly Father, it's so easy for us to gather here and worship You. And we're thankful for the freedom we enjoy at the cost of so many lives. We pray for those, though, who worship You secretly, under threat of fierce persecution, and in danger of their very lives, and we know there are many. Bless them for their commitment to our Savior, and make us more grateful for what we have in this remarkable nation. We ask You to accomplish Your will in our upcoming election, for Your glory and the proclamation of the gospel. We fail You so often, Lord, and we must beg Your forgiveness for our sins, and pray that You'll hear and heed our prayers and the praise that we offer You this morning. Bless those who cannot be here today, and cover us all with Your grace and Your love. We ask in the wondrous name of Jesus. Amen. We serve communion every Sunday, and we want you to feel free to share in this remembrance if you're a follower of Jesus. If you are in your car, and I see a number of you have come inside today, but if you are out there in your car and you'd like to be served communion, our men will serve you at your car if you will blink your flashers or your turn signal to let them know that you want to be served. I was reading that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were the first men to walk on the moon. That was back in 1969. I remember we got our kids up and made them watch it. They weren't too excited. But Aldrin had brought with him a tiny communion kit. And during the morning, he sent this message over the radio. He said, "Houston, this is Eagle. This is the LM pilot speaking. I would like to request a few moments of silence. I would like to invite each person listening in, whoever or wherever he may be, to contemplate for a moment the events of the last few hours and to give thanks in his own individual way." And then he opened his communion kit and he had communion on the moon. He read his communion scripture and read that. He was going to read that back to Earth, but at the last minute he was requested not to do that because NASA was already involved in a legal battle over the fact that the Apollo 8 crew had read from the book of Genesis, and Madeline Murray O'Hare was suing them. So he agreed, but it's interesting to think, though, that the first liquid ever poured and the first food ever tasted on the moon were the cup and the bread with which we Christians are all so familiar. Now let's remember the Savior's sacrifice ourselves as reverently as Buzz Aldrin did. Jimmy Bowman will lead us in our closing, our communion prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given us to gather here to honor your name and sing songs of praise to your great name, Lord. Thank you for all the blessing that you have given us this week. We ask you to look after our sick. Be with the families that's lost loved ones this week, Lord. Be with our men and women that protect this great country. Lord, we ask you to cure this awful COVID that we got and be with everything that we do in that respect. And as we partake of this bread and this cup, which represents your broken body and blood shed on Calvary's cross for our sins, in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Little Hickman Christian Church has always been a very generous church. And I've never had to preach about giving. Someone said, we shovel out and God shovels in, but God has a bigger shovel than we have. And it's true, we always are blessed far beyond what we give back. But if you're in your car and you want to share in the offering, just signal in the same manner and our men will find you. Danny Patton will lead us in our offering prayer.
Dear Lord God, again, thank you for this glorious day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you've blessed us with. Thank you for each and every blessing you provide us with. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's now join in singing about our Lord and His blessings. This is the last day you folks in your cars will have to sing blind without hymn books. So join in as we sing these familiar hymns. First is number 122 in the hymn book, and it's Standing on the Promises. We're going to sing the first and the last verses of Standing on the Promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. All right, let's turn next to number 419. And sing a song we haven't sung for a while. Let's Tell It to Jesus. Let's sing the first and the second and the last verses of this one.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus today. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. He'd no other such a friend or brother. tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are your sins good, men's are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus today. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
And then number 410 is our prayer hymn this morning. We're just going to sing the first verse as we stand and join in prayer once more. With 410.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot rest, near to the heart of God. This blessed Redeemer sent from the heart of God, hold us awake before thee, near to the heart of God.
Our gracious God, you've never hesitated to choose and use those who are not highly regarded by this world. Common folks with an uncommon commitment to your Son and our Savior. Sometimes it's hard for us to imagine what use we could be to you. But we pray you will open our eyes to what your Spirit can make us into. And even the small and insignificant ways that we can serve you and touch lives. Forgive our weaknesses and our sins, Lord. And make us witnesses for you in the world that desperately needs your saving word. This is our prayer. Through the wondrous name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Okay. Thank you, David. And I think we might take a moment to thank Mike Wheeler, too, who's helping with the sound this morning and last week. And that's it. Amen. That's not a small job, I'll tell you. It's not a small job at all.
Brother Lee, I have some of these pictures. Marcia made copies, some copies, and they're laying up here on the piano of the long ago pictures. If anybody wanted a copy, they're in this envelope on the piano.
Okay. Could you all hear what she said? She said she has some old pictures from the church and people of the church up here on the piano. Yeah, from years ago. If you'd like to see them or maybe arrange to have a copy made, they're right here and you can see them after church. How many of you know what holiday today is? No? Amen. That's right. I didn't know if anybody would know that or not. It's been a part of the Christian church for centuries. It was first recorded in about 373 A.D. All Saints' Day. It was celebrated on the first Sunday after Pentecost, but in 741 A.D. it was changed to November 1st. And they celebrate it with a big feast. I'm surprised we don't celebrate it, because we love big feasts. It's a celebration of All Saints' Day today. Today is the day. Now, according to the Catholic Online, it's a solemn holy day of the Catholic Church dedicated to the saints of the Church, that is, all those who have attained heaven. Although millions or even billions of people may already be saints, All Saints' Day observances tend to focus on the known saints, that is, those recognized in the canon of saints by the Catholic Church. It was also called All Hallows' Day. Hallows meaning holy. All the Holy People Day. All Saints' Day. And of course, Hallows Evening got shortened to something that you would recognize, Halloween, right? The night before All Hallows Day. And it got mixed up with a lot of secular and false religious practices, which are still part of the Halloween picture, but I don't think most people take them seriously. Did you know that 1/4 of all the candy sold each year in the United States is purchased for Halloween? 1/4 of all the candy sold in a year is purchased for Halloween. In 2019, the United States spent nearly $9 billion on Halloween. Where did we get all that money? On top of that, they spent another $500 million on costumes for their pets. $500 million. But the main celebration, for the church at least, is All Saints' Day. So, as we read our scriptures today and consider this Christian holiday, well, let's read the scriptures. I have three of them. Just to illustrate what I'm talking about, Paul's letter to the Romans begins, and in the very first part of his letter, he says, "To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints." Romans 1:7. Then, when he wrote to the Corinthians the second time, 2 Corinthians, in the very beginning, the very first words that he wrote to them were, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia." So he was sending his greeting not just to the church in Corinth, but to the whole state in which Corinth was located. And then when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus." So it would seem that that answers our question, as far as I'm concerned: who is a saint? Who should we honor on All Saints' Day? The words holy, sanctify, dedicate, and saint all come from the same Greek word, and they all have reference to setting something apart for special purpose. A saint, according to the Scripture, is someone who is set apart for God's purpose. Set apart. To be holy means to be set apart for God. To sanctify means to set something apart for God. To dedicate means essentially the same thing. And of course, saint means anyone who is set apart for God's service. Which, as far as I'm concerned, would include all of us. When we think of saints, though, you know, if you say, oh, he's just a saint. You think of someone like maybe Polycarp, Christian leader in the 3rd century, in the area which is now the country of Turkey. But a terrible persecution was mounted against the church. And Polycarp was burned at the stake because he refused to renounce his faith in the Savior who had died for him. Or we think of someone like Mother Teresa in our lifetime, who lived an extraordinary life of self-denial in order to serve the poor. We think of somebody like that when we think of saint, but when we think of All Saints Day, we should recognize all the saints, perhaps living as well as dead. You see, our problem is that we look for saints in high and lofty places. And what we miss is the fact that most of the saints are standing right next to us or sitting right next to us. They're the people that we interact with every day, the ones who are slugging it out in the trenches and barely getting by some of the time. They're the ones who are generous to a fault, and yet they're barely scraping by themselves. They're the ones that whose lives we look at and think, man, they really got a raw deal. Yet they're the ones who continue to praise God for His greatness. They're the people who have loved and lost. There are also many saints still among us. The faithful, Paul called them. Not too long after my wife Lois died, the church where she had served as organist for 21 years held a special service in memory of all the saints who had died that year from that church. And it was a very touching tribute. I think our memory board back there is a touching tribute to saints that we have lost, but who have served the Lord mightily in this place. There are some pictures on that board that could bring tears to your eyes when you think about what those folks meant to this church and this community. But one of the problems with modern American society is that we worship celebrities and stars as if they were the saints. Imagine with me for a moment what it would be like if we were to come up with a set of Beatitudes for the 21st century. What if we made a list of the kinds of people that seem to be well off, that seem to have it made by today's standards? It might go something like this. Blessed are the rich and famous, because they can always get a seat at the best restaurants. Or blessed are the good looking, for they shall be on the cover of People magazine. Blessed are those who party, for they know how to have fun. And blessed are those who take first place in their division, for they shall have momentum going into the playoffs. Blessed are the movers and shakers, for they shall make a name for themselves. I'm sorry. Blessed are the healthy and fit, because they don't mind being seen in a bathing suit. Blessed are those who make it to the top, because they get to look down on everyone else. We consider the rich and the powerful, the good-looking, the athletic, and we think they have the best lives of all. They can't get any better. And yet, you consider the words of Jesus, He tells a different story, doesn't he? In fact, when we compare our 21st century Beatitudes to the standards that Jesus set, well, they're very interesting. We say, blessed are the rich and famous, for they can always get the best. But Jesus says, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. We say, blessed are those who make it to the top because they get to look down on everyone else. Jesus says, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Totally opposite. We fool ourselves sometimes into believing a false truth, that the good life is something we can build for ourselves in this world with money and fame and power. But the good life is something very different from that. Shane Claiborne founded a massive homeless ministry in Philadelphia. It's called The Simple Way. And he tells the story of an encounter he had with a young homeless girl. Claiborne recalls one day he and his colleagues were building relationships with the homeless in a particularly bad part of Philadelphia. And he says, and I'm quoting him here, he said, we met a little 7-year-old girl who was homeless, and we asked her what she wanted to do when she grew up. She paused thoughtfully, and then she replied, I want to own a grocery store. Now, I heard one fellow say that when he and his sister were young, he remembered his sister announced that she wanted to be a cash register. Because the cash registers get to take in all the money. But this little homeless girl in Philadelphia had something else in mind. When Claiborne and his colleagues asked the girl why she wanted to work in a grocery store, she simply said, so I can give out food to all the hungry people. See, that's the attitude a saint would have. She wanted to give of herself for others. Saints are the people who commit their whole lives to following the Lord. And then they follow through on that. That's what a saint is. They love the way Jesus loved. They show mercy and compassion the way Jesus did. They make sacrifices the way Jesus made sacrifices. Remember what he said. He said, to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. I read about a fellow named Stephen Schitterer, who was an army medic. And he met his enemy's bullet before he met his enemy. While patrolling the dangerous streets of Baghdad, he was shot in the chest by an enemy sniper. And although he was knocked to the ground by the impact of the bullet, his bulletproof vest saved his life. And when his combat team tracked down the sniper, Stephen discovered that the sniper had been wounded. And at this point, loving one's enemy was no longer a theoretical concept. The enemy was directly in front of him and in need of prompt medical treatment. Only moments earlier, that sniper had put Stephen Schitterer in the crosshairs of his scope and had pulled the trigger intending to end his life. So Schitterer could have roughed him up. He was a captive. He could have walked away and justified his actions. But instead, he treated and dressed the wounds of the man who had just tried to kill him. Our society gives one message about what it means to live a wonderful life and be blessed. But Jesus tells us something entirely different. He turns it all upside down and leads us to strive for something that most people don't. And that's what we remember on All Saints' Day. We seek a life of fulfillment that follows the path of people like Tom Cruise or Miley Cyrus, or we can be like that little girl who wanted to work in a grocery store, or like our parents, or like some of the people pictured on that memory board back there, who have modeled for us what it means to be a saint. The Bible says we become saints when we allow God to set our lives apart to represent and serve Jesus Christ. Saints are sinners who've surrendered to Jesus. Forgiven sinners with a promise of everlasting life. When we offer an opportunity each week for those who decide to make that choice, and we pray you'll take it seriously and take Him seriously while we sing our invitation hymn this morning. It's number 318. And we're going to stand together and sing just the first and the last verses of Whiter Than Snow. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want You forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, before You I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought You, You never said no. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Will you pray with me? Blessed Lord, thank You for the incredible privilege of coming together in Your presence, tasting of Your glory. Now may Your grace and guidance go with us as we return to our homes. May the name of Jesus be in our hearts and on our lips as we go about this week. And may Your Spirit bring us comfort and strength for whatever we meet. These things we humbly pray through the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.